Hello, mine friend. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Talkin' Bamf, the Nightcrawler Show. It's the bluest, fuzziest, elfiest podcast there is, and it's all about Kurt Wagner. I'm your host, Ryan, and today's episode is going to be part three of our four-part Nightcrawler rundown covering the 1985 Nightcrawler miniseries written and drawn by Dave Cockrum. So before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to talk about something, and I can't remember if I brought this up last week or if this was 2 weeks ago on episode one, but the 1990s cartoon Pirates of Dark Water. Talking about the pirate crew, I think it was probably episode one because we were talking more about the pirate crew then. But going back and like being inspired by these pirates and stuff, I wanted to look more into pirate stuff. And so I went back and I was like, what was that show called again? Like, I'm pretty sure it was Pirates of Dark Water. So I looked it up and yeah, that's what it was. It ran for two seasons. It was 21 episodes long. It ran from 91 to 92. And like, I'm based on the cast, like I'm actually surprised that it didn't last a lot longer. Like, it has a pretty sweet cast. Like, it's got Hector Elizondo, Tim Curry, Frank Welker, Peter Cullen. Like, these are the voices of, like, 80s and 90s action cartoons. Brock Peters, Jody Benson, like, all kinds of voice acting veterans from that era. And you had Tim Curry, too. And so you have, like, these well-known voice actors, and for whatever reason, maybe it was the animation, maybe just kids didn't watch it, because I mean, I have some memories of watching it, but never that it was like this major show. But yeah, I went back. Like, it's rated an 8.3 out of 10 on IMDb, so clearly the people that have watched this series have loved it. But yeah, I was looking into it. You can get like all the whole season on four discs for like $20. I have no idea if it's streaming anywhere. That's going to be the next thing that I look for, because you know, 21 episodes, I can knock that out like no problem. I knock that out on like during a day of work or something, have it playing in the background and just get through it. But yeah, like I was looking at that cast and just such a great cast, and yeah, so I just wanted to share that because I was curious if anyone else that was listening to this is like, oh man, I remember that show too. Like, these weird elf looking pirate guys that had, you know, pointy ears and stuff and like orangey glowing skin. So there you go. I went back and I looked it up and I just wanted to share it. Cause yeah, that 8.3 out of 10, it's like, man, this is rated higher than like almost every other cartoon from the late 80s, early 90s, like up until like, I would say from like He-Man to Gargoyles. Right. So from what He-Man was like the very late 70s, like 78, and then it ran through 83 or something like that, maybe. I'm not sure. But either way, like from He-Man to like Gargoyles, I feel like that was, if you were a Gen X kid or like an early millennial and you had any kind of childhood that took place in the 80s or 90s, you were watching one of the shows from that period. And like of all the shows from that era, like this is one of the higher rated shows that I've come across. So it was just shocking to see that it has such a high rating on there and that it had such like a fantastic cast. So yeah, I'm pretty excited to go back and see if I can't track it down and watch it. But either way, I just wanted to share that. And I think with that out of the way, now we can jump into today's episode. So today, as I said at the top of the show, we are covering Nightcrawler number three, again written and drawn by Dave Cockrum, but same crew for all the rest. Colors by Patty, letters from Jim Novak, edits from Ann Nocenti. Jim Shooter is the editor in chief of Marvel at the time. So I mean, it's the same creative team throughout this entire process. And it makes sense with this being a miniseries. You know, it was all done together and planned out and written and all that, produced all together. So this issue is called To Bamf or Not To Bamf, and it picks up right where the last one left off. We have Nightcrawler in this new terrain on this new place, completely taken aback by what's happened to him. And it opens with a splash page of Nightcrawler looking shocked with Lockheed on his shoulder, and they're looking at this little Banff. And you know, just like the last issue ended, the Banff's calling him daddy. He's like, "Daddy, you've come home." And Nightcrawler refers to him as a Cabbage Patch Nightcrawler. So, you know, staying on brand with the mid-80s branding there. And Nightcrawler is just kind of asking, like, who are you and what is this? And the Banff is like, "I'm a Banff, duh." "Welcome home to Banff Island, Daddy." And and Nightcrawler like immediately puts two and two together. He's like, "Whoa, this is weird. You guys are from Kitty's fairy tale that she told to Ilyana. You're just made up. You guys don't exist. This isn't a real thing." And he's like, "Yes, it is a real thing. You're looking at me. I'm a Banff, and this is Banff Island. And all of the Banffs, we all live here on Banff Island." And and then Nightcrawler's like, "I'm not your dad. Also, like, please stop calling me daddy. It's weird. It's giving me really weird vibes." And he's like, "Well, you know, you're like twice, maybe even three times the size of any Banff that I've ever seen. So, you know, just like by default, that makes you the daddy Banff." And Nightcrawler's like, "Okay, well, I can't really argue with that logic, but sure." And so the Banff says, "All right, well, follow me and I'll take you to Banff," this spelled with two Fs, our hometown. And the Banff Banffs away, and Nightcrawler, you know, with line of sight teleportation, doesn't see where he goes, and so can't really follow. And so he has a moment to ponder to himself, like, "Oh man," he's saying to himself, like, "I feel like Alice falling down the rabbit hole. It's been one bizarre experience after another. All of these weird fairy tale situations and magical situations that I keep finding myself in." He's like, this is all very strange. And like for him, he's reflecting back. He's like, "It feels like it's been weeks, you know, that I've been on this strange adventure." And so then Nightcrawler actually takes us through and gives us a recap of all of the previous two issues, which is nice since this one starts in such a strange way. You know, he's a stranger in a strange land with no rhyme or reason as far as what's going on. So it's good to get that background. Cause if this is the third issue or the first issue that you've picked up, you're starting this mini series with number three, you're not going to know what's going on. I mean, you probably wouldn't have known too much last issue either, but since that one flowed from the first one and all of the storylines kind of melded into each other and characters were reintroduced and stuff, you'd be able to figure it out from context. But this one is completely different. It just, all of that stuff that happened before, that's done now. And now he's on this, the land of the Banffs, and it's like a whole separate adventure now. So we have to get some background as far as how Nightcrawler ended up there. So he goes back and he recaps. We have this page that's got like six panels on it. Each panel is kind of going through a part of the previous issue. So like the first three panels kind of cover the first issue, and then the next two panels kind of cover last issue, and then it picks us right back up into this one. So he's kind of walking us through. He's like, "You know, I was training in the Danger Room, and then there was this weird interdimensional portal, and these tentacle things reached in and it grabbed me, a Nightcrawler, it pulled us out. And then I found myself on a flying pirate ship, which was great. And I hung out there, but eventually, you know, they did some bad stuff and I kind of double crossed them. They knocked me out and sold me to a wizard named Chagrin, who's this weird, like albino shark looking humanoid kind of ugly creature that wouldn't let me teleport. And, you know, eventually I was able to break free with the help of the Boggies and my old pirate chums. And, you know, once I was broken free, I realized that he not only kidnapped me, but he also kidnapped the princess, you know, the Jin Chav. And, you know, I was able to not only beat Chagrin, but rescue the Jin Chav. And so she made me, well, her family, you know, they made me like a knight of the realm and a protector of the city. And right as the princess and I were becoming better acquainted, another dimensional hole opened up and carried Lockheed and me away." And so it's like, all right, yep, that's the chain of events as they were. And he's like, and now I'm here on this weird island. And then all of a sudden the BAMF comes back and he's like, dude, what, why, how come you didn't follow me? And like, I BAMFed away and you just stayed here. And Nightcrawler's like, oh, well, I can only BAMF to where I can see, or at least a place I've been before. Like, I don't necessarily have to be looking at it live. As long as I can see it in my mind's eye, I can pretty much teleport there. Unfortunately, I've never been here, so I don't know where, what, you know, what you're talking about, where you're going or anything. And the BAMF is like, oh, that kind of sucks. He's like, luckily, you know, it's not too far away. We'll just hoof it. And so he kind of points Nightcrawler in the direction. And so he's like, let's head this way. And Nightcrawler is like, well, hold on. Let's, you know, we might as well get better acquainted. I'm Kurt. What is your name? And the BAMF's like, we don't have names. We're the BAMFs and we all know each other. So we don't have names. Anyway, you know, follow me. So the BAMF leads the way with Nightcrawler in tow and they walk through. There's like this little meadow with mushrooms and there's like pixies and stuff. And the BAMF is the BAMF is a lot like Nightcrawler. Definitely got some raging hormones. And Nightcrawler's like, did I just see like tiny girls with butterfly wings? It's like, yes, Kurt, they're pixies. Do you not know what a pixie is? Anyway, and the BAMF's like, oh yeah, they're called peonies and they're super cute, but they're way too small. And then they arrive in BAMF. And they live in giant puffballs. I don't know. That's how Nightcrawler explains it. They're just like these giant balls. And they've got holes in them. And that's, the BAMFs just live in those. They don't have doors or anything. They just live in these like giant spheres that seem to be like these organic kind of growing. And he's like, yeah, you know, if we ever need a new house, you know, we'll just grow one and it'll appear. And that's where we live. You know, what's wrong with that? Anyway, they arrive in BAMF. And of course, the BAMF that accompanied Nightcrawler there in the first place, he calls out to all the other BAMFs. He's like, hey, gang, come on out. Look who's here. And there's like 20 of them, 30 of them. They all just kind of pour out of these houses and they all just crowd around Nightcrawler and they're all just yelling, daddy. just it's, you know, daddy, daddy, daddy. That's all they're saying. Like, they're all just happy that Nightcrawler is there, I guess, and that he's their dad, you know, because why not? He's the, like the BAMF said, you know, he's the biggest one, so he's got to be the oldest and the dad of all of these little BAMFs. But we cut back into the real world. We check in on Kitty and Ilyana here, and I like that Dave Cockrum like points out that several days have passed now, well, a few days have passed since the events of last issue, which had already been like hours since the first time. And they're still wearing the same clothes. Like, Ilyana's still wearing her same green Michael Jackson shirt. Kitty's still wearing her same red and yellow, like long sleeve turtleneck thing that she's got. So like, they've clearly, either they don't have changes of clothes or they've been working like nonstop for days trying to get Nightcrawler back. And knowing Kitty and Ilyana, I'm sure it's the latter. But still, like, it's the X-Men are still gone on whatever mission they are. And so these two are still home alone, trying as they might to get Nightcrawler back. And this time Kitty's like, I have no idea. Like, he's still like, we're still sensing movement. We're still sensing that Kurt's moving around, but we can't, like, we're going to have to start all over again to try to track his location and track him down. And Ilyana's like, what are you talking about? Like, you have to get him back before he gets further away. Kitty's like, dude, what do you think I've been trying to do for days? Like, if you have a better idea, tell me. And Ilyana's like, oh yeah, okay, you're right. Like, I don't, like, my idea is get Nightcrawler back. Like, that's the depth of my plan. And Kitty's like, yeah, that's what I thought. Like, I'm the one trying to figure all this stuff out. But either way, Nightcrawler is not back home where he belongs. And so the girls are frantically trying to figure out a way to get him back. And of course we go check back in with Nightcrawler. And we see that it's still all the same things going on. All the BAMFs have surrounded him. This time they're cheering for him. Now they're not just yelling, daddy. they're like, let's cheer for daddy. So now they're all saying, yay, daddy, instead. And it's Nightcrawler is just very, he seems very nonplussed about the whole thing. But it can't really go any further. This reverie or whatever you want to call it, this cheering session that the Bamps are putting on for Nightcrawler is suddenly interrupted when right next to Nightcrawler, we get this big green, kind of like a teleportation cloud, only this one says, boomf. So whoever it is suddenly appears, and we see that it's none other than Chagrin, the evil sorcerer who we thought fell to his death last issue. And that's exactly what Nightcrawler thinks. Like, where did this guy come from? How did he get back? Last time I saw him, he was falling to his death off of the weird squid ship that we were flying, I guess. And, you know, Chagrin immediately goes into his little rant, his little tirade, where he's like, ah, finally, Boggy, I found you. You thought you can trick me and try to escape, but I figured out where you were, and now I'm here to get you back so that I can, you know, kill you this time and everything. And he does. He spares no time. He immediately just like whips out his scepter, shoots this green like death ray, just like Avada Kedavra's Nightcrawler, but it doesn't work. If for whatever reason it stops in midair and just kind of like explodes in like all around Nightcrawler, like there's some sort of invisible screen. And Chagrin sees that Nightcrawler is standing on what appears to be like this large emerald type thing, and he calls it a spellstone. He's like, oh man, you're on a spellstone? Dag nabbit, like I can't hit you with any kind of magic if you're on a spellstone. He's like, if I do anything, it'll send it back towards me, and I don't like that idea. He's like, so instead, I'll just steal all of your little boggy friends and take them back with me because, you know, I know that you're a hero and you'll come try to save them. And then, you know, I can finally kill you. So that's what he does. He kidnaps all of the I almost called them boggies. He kidnaps all of the little Bamfs. He's calling them boglets, which is cute. And he says, like, if you want your boglet friends back, meet me at the Fangs of Doom. So just like a super ominous kind of deal. But I like that he's back and there's like no explanation given. And he even says like, haha, you thought you'd escape. And Nightcrawler's like, wait, I want to know how you returned. And he's like, nope, I will not be answering questions. And so they're all gone. It's just Nightcrawler and the original Bamf that he was with the first time that brought him to, you know, Bamf City in the first place. And they're like, well, you know, shoot, what are we supposed to do? I guess we got to go get the rest of the Bamfs back. And this one, this Bamf is like, no way. If all the other boy Bamfs are gone, then that's just me and all the girl Bamfs I want. And Nightcrawler's like, are you kidding me? And the Bamf's like, well, yeah, of course there's girl Bamfs. And you know, now that all the other boys are gone, it's just me. And Nightcrawler's like, there's girls? And he's like, yeah, man. How do you think there are so many of us? He's like, yeah, the Bamf girls, they keep a low profile, you know, and it makes sense because we Bamfs tend to get a little over-enthusiastic, romantically speaking. He's like, but yes, they do exist. And now that all the other boy Bamfs are gone, like, they're all mine. And so Bamf's like, the Bamf is like, anyway, I heard that wizard call you a boggy. What's a boggy? And poor Nightcrawler just yells like, I am not a boggy. And then the Bamf's like, okay, but what is a boggy? Like, what are you talking about? And Kurt's like, no, we're not talking. If I hear the word boggy one more time, like we're not having this conversation. So the Bamf's like, okay, fine. What are we going to do? And Nightcrawler's like, well, you know, you said that there were girl Bamfs. We might as well at least go check and make sure that they're still safe and that, you know, Chagrin Jerk didn't kidnap them too. And so they go to find the girl Bamfs and we find out that they are gone as well, which Nightcrawler says, you know, that's not very good because Chagrin has a penchant for sacrificing young girls to his weird, like evil shark sorcerer god to get you know, evil eldritch abilities and all that stuff to gain sorceress power. And Nightcrawler's like, you'd probably do that with the girl Bamps too. So the Bamp says, all right, well, I know exactly what to do. Like, no one messes with the Bamps. I'm going to call a guy because we're going to need a ride. You know, the Fangs of Doom are like all the way on the other side of the world. He said, like, it says the Fangs of Doom are a series of jagged pinnacles protecting the approaches to the kingdom of Argos. Which is a new kingdom that we haven't seen yet, I guess. And either way, he's like, yeah, so it's an ancient fortress that was once owned by a king, but apparently now Shagreen is using it as his hideout, and so we're going to have to get there. We're going to have to sail across the ocean or fly across the ocean, and I've got a guy. So he takes Nightcrawler to, like, the coast. And there's this giant, like, two-barreled horn thing. And he's like, stay back. And this little teeny Bamf gives this massive blast. And the ground starts to shake. Nightcrawler's thinking it's an earthquake. And then, like the Tasmanian devil, this, like, cyclone kind of busts up out of the ground. And out pops this little creepy monster looking guy who's wearing a suit. He's got, like, you know, brownish maroon gloves and on his feet, and, like, in the shape of, like, an upside down triangle kind of thing going from his shoulders to his waist. He's got, the rest of his costume is yellow. He's got hair that kind of goes to points on either side of his head. He's got three claws on each hand, but it's not Wolverine. It's just this weird Tasmanian devil version of Wolverine. And he pops out of the ground and he says, howdy, folks, I'm Mean. And that's it. he like pulls out a match. I'm not sure what he lights it on. It seems like he lights a match on the air or, like, the side of the panel itself. And then, yeah, he just starts puffing on a cigar, and he's looking around and he's like, ah, yeah, I haven't had a chance to smoke in hours. Not since I took the wrong turn at Albuquerque. So now we're getting some Looney Tunes references in here, which makes sense since, like, you know, he looks like the Tasmanian devil. Of course, Nightcrawler recognizes this guy as well. He's like, hey, wait a minute. I've seen this movie before. He's like, I'm Living Kitty's fairy tale. I suppose you're the fiend with no name, right? And he's like, no, don't be stupid, bub. My name is Mean. and, like, they're going on this, like, back and forth where they're kind of talking to each other and everything. And the Bamf interrupts. He's like, hey, shut up, will ya? Like, this is not who I was calling. I was calling someone else. And the Mean gets angry that he was interrupted. He's talking to the Bamf, giving him a hard time. The Bamf is talking right back. They're calling each other furballs and all kinds of stuff. Cruising for a bruising is thrown out at one point. Like, it's just, you know, they're not getting along, but they're interrupted by a voice off panel. A shadow kind of starts to cover the ground, and they look around, and it's this giant dragon. And this dragon has, like, an Irish accent, but his name is Lockheed. And Nightcrawler's like, you've got to be kidding. Like, this is the Lockheed from, like, Kitty's Fairy Tale Theater. And he's like, hey, how's it going? You know, like, what's going on? But little Lockheed, you know, regular Lockheed, flies up to this, like, giant Lockheed and, like, immediately starts, like, talking at him and stuff, squawking at him and everything. And it's just like hiss, sputter, like snarf, you know, growl, those sort of things. And big Lockheed is like, oh, cute, like a little dragon child. How lovely. Cute little tyke. And then he's like, but such language. Oh, man. So, yeah. So Lockheed wasn't saying very nice things to this big Lockheed. But either way, Nightcrawler introduces himself. He's like, hello, Lockheed, that dragon that you just kind of knocked back with, you know, some heat breath for giving you a lip there. He's also named Lockheed. You know, I'm Nightcrawler. These are my friends, the Bamf and Mean. And, like, can you give us a ride? Do you think you can take us to where we need to go? And Lockheed is like, yeah, sure. Like, why not? Hop on. And they're like riding on the back of this dragon through the sky as the dragon is taking them to the Fangs of Doom. And as they're flying over, Nightcrawler is thinking about all this different stuff, how like everybody has a counterpart in Kitty's fairy tale. So he strikes up the conversation and he's like, hey, Lockheed, this is going to sound weird. But like the Banff is like my counterpart, and you know, my little pal Lockheed here is your counterpart. And this mean character, you know, his counterpart is a good friend of mine named Wolverine, you know, and like we're all friends and stuff. And he's like, and I'm curious though, because it seems that every person who seems to be here in this world is a counterpart from my world. And you all are characters from a fairy tale that one of the people from my world told. It was like a story that she had told. And he's like, I'm wondering if you know of anyone named Kitty and Colossus. And Lockheed is like, oh yeah, sure. You know, it's like they're pirates and all that. And he's like, speaking of Kitty and Colossus and speaking of pirates, do you see that ship that's sailing down on the ocean there? That happens to be the ship of Kitty and Colossus over yonder. So Lockheed flies on down to the pirate ship of Kitty and Colossus. And Kitty's like, oh, hey, dragon, what's going on? Like, how are you? And the dragon's like, oh, not too bad. I'm giving some folks a ride over to the Fangs of Doom. Couple little Banffs, and they're gonna go fight an evil wizard. You want to get in on this adventure? And Colossus is like, oh no, not again. But Kitty's like, oh sure, yeah, come on, like, come on down, it'll be a lot of fun, why not? You know, it's the crew will meet up with us at the usual place, and we'll climb aboard your back and ride along with these folks and take part in this adventure, why not? You know, we got nothing better to do, we're just sailing the open sea. And as Kitty's going to climb aboard the large Lockheed, the normal Lockheed flies over and he's got like hearts above his head and everything. And he immediately takes to Kitty. He you know, curls himself around her neck and sits across her shoulders as he usually does. And Kitty's like, what's going on here? And big Lockheed's like, oh, no, nothing to worry about. You know, this little chap is also named Lockheed, and it seems that he's from an alternate dimension where there are counterparts of everyone here. And apparently he is very good friends with your counterpart from his world. And Kitty's like, oh, well, that explains why he likes me. That's nice. So anyway, Kitty and Colossus climb aboard the large Lockheed's back, and Nightcrawler kind of fills them in. He tells them all about the other dimensions and, you know, Kitty's fairy tale theater and how he feels like he knows these people, but they're actually just counterparts for people that, you know, in his world are very close to him, very important to him, almost family, more like family even than friends to him. And he's like, you know, you're the version of you in my world is a little bit younger. Same goes for Colossus, you know, and of course, Mean here, his version in my world is he's a human, but everything else is about the same. You know, they both like beer and smoke and cigars, and they're both, you know, bad tempered and they can be a little rude at times and all that stuff. And of course, you know, I'm the counterpart for these little Banff guys here. And yeah, so that's what's going on. I've been dimension hopping, I guess, and now I have to rescue all the Banff boys and all the Banff girls from this evil shark sorcerer wizard guy. And at that point, you know, it says a few hours later, and Lockheed announces to them, like, all right, y'all, we're here at the Fangs of Doom. I'm going to lower down to sea level in case they've got some sort of a radar of sorts. And, you know, we'll be there shortly. And as soon as they get down to, like, sea level, I don't know how far above sea level Lockheed is flying, not too far, But as soon as they get down to the sea level, all these giant tentacles come flying out of the water. They grab Lockheed's tail and they pull Lockheed like under the water. And the rest of the team, you know, Nightcrawler and Kitty and Colossus and Mean and the Bamp, they're like, well, shoot, you know, there's nothing we can do against a big, large sea creature. So I guess we'll just cross our fingers and hope that Lockheed is able to get free and save himself, you know. But in the meantime, we're here to to rescue the Bamp. So the other group just swims to the shores of this island where the Fangs of Doom can be located. You can see in the background, like, Lockheed is trying, like, struggling against the tentacles, trying to escape and fly away. And the last thing that we see is Lockheed being pulled under the water. So I have to say, like, I hope that Lockheed's okay too, because that kind of sucks. Like, hey, fly us here. Hey, thanks for getting us here, but you're dead now. I guess it's no different than like in sci-fi where the ship gets shot down or something like that. But still, it's sad because, you know, Lockheed was a sentient dragon and very nice and very helpful. So that sucks. Hopefully we'll find out in the next issue that Lockheed survived. It's something to keep in mind for next week. We can double check and see. Either way, this group, you know, Nightcrawler, Colossus, Kitty, Mean, and the Bamf, and of course Lockheed, little Lockheed, regular Lockheed, they all arrive on the beach, and almost immediately they are already set upon by these large, strange birds that Kitty recognizes as Dreadwings. So it's like no sooner are they on dry land that they're like, well, it's battle time, you know, the roll for initiative, here we go. And these beasts come down, these flying things, and I don't know how to describe them. They're like these bat chicken things that, like, they don't really have bodies. They kind of just have this very large head with like wings, and then they've got like these bird of prey, like vulture talon things that that come off. And they also seem to have like not laser vision, but they seem to have a gaze that if they look at you will like render you, I don't know, paralyzed, I guess. I think it was maybe, here we go. So we actually get some narration. It says like, Dreadwings, fell carnivorous beasts, voracious and terrible, with a withering glance that can transfix any prey. Dreadwings, the very name invokes terror. And they kind of find out that like, none of these guys have like ranged attacks, right? Like Mean has claws, the Bamf and Nightcrawler can teleport around, Colossus is really strong and impervious, Kitty has a sword. Like Colossus at least picks up like a rock, like a boulder, not a rock, but he picks up like a boulder and like flings it at one, which knocks one down, and the rest of them just kind of have to do like hand-to-hand combat. And it works okay, sort of, for like Nightcrawler and the Bamf, because they're very acrobatic, they're very agile, and so they're able to kind of like jump around and jump from Dreadwing to Dreadwing, kind of just like knocking them unconscious with like a double fisted punch if they can, you know, kind of knocking them. But Nightcrawler, you know, he notates that like he can't teleport, neither can the Bamf, so they've got their agility, but that's about it. So they've kind of lost any of their like offensive capabilities and some of their defensive capabilities as well that stem from their ability to teleport. Colossus at least is able to injure the ones that come close enough, like the ones that are dumb enough to come right up to him and try to grab him or whatever. He's able to beat them back, you know, with his strong punches and his impervious skin and all that. But it doesn't go quite as well for Kitty. It doesn't seem that this version of Kitty has her intangibility. Maybe she does and she just doesn't use it, but she does get grabbed at one point by one of the Dreadwings and like carried off. So it doesn't seem that she can. Meanwhile, Mean, I like what Mean does. He gives himself a ranged attack. He's carried this six pack with him since he first showed up in his little, like, you know, cyclone from underground. So he like swallows the six pack whole and does this huge like belch and then spits out all the cans like bullets, like they're projectiles. And he's able to like shoot a couple out of the sky. So that was pretty good. He was able to at least give himself, you know, albeit temporarily, a ranged attack. But it's not enough. Eventually, the Dreadwings overwhelm everyone just based on sheer numbers. They transfix Colossus. Luckily, they don't carry him off. They just knock him down. And then they seem to fly away. Like, they're okay with the fact that they've kidnapped Kitty. They do their last few attacks, and then they all retreat and fly away. Nightcrawler runs over. You know, of course, he's asking Colossus, like, you know, are you okay, Peter? Or are you fine? Like, do you need a minute? And Colossus is like, nope, they've got Kitty, so we're going to go get Kitty back. So here we go. And Nightcrawler's like, good plan. It looks like they've flown back to the tower at the top of like the tallest mountain. It looks a little bit like Barad-dûr, but not quite. But there is this large winding path, and it appears to be the only path to the top. So they're like, all right, well, here we go. Like, we got to save Kitty. We got to save the Bamf. We've got to save the girl Bamfs. Like, we're going to have to walk up this mountain because it doesn't appear that there's any other way to go. And I love this sequence. We only get like two panels of them actually walking up. And there's all these like Looney Tunes signs, you know, where like as they're walking up the trail, there's all these signs that say like scram and shove off. And like, I'd turn back if I were you. And they're even like, I think at one point the Bamf kind of points out that it's kind of silly. He's like, you know, is Chagrin the one that does this? This is strange. Like, these are very odd signs to have. So I like the awareness there. That's fun. Eventually, they are able to get to the very top of this tower with no further incident. And the entrance to this tower is shaped like the head of a Dreadwing, like this hideous, large bat head. And even this has a weird sign. There's like a sign on the side of the head, like on the cheek where the cheek would be. And it says like, abandon hope, all ye who enter here. Except Tuesdays and Thursdays, 5 to 7 p.m. It's very weird. And like Colossus points it out and he's like, what a weird thing to do. Like, this is a very odd sense of humor that this wizard has. Like, what do you suppose he's doing on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 7? And Mean is like, even wizards got to use the John at some point. Yeah, it's funny. And then the Bamf is like, I'll never abandon hope. He's my favorite comedian. So just, some meta humor there. But immediately they walk through like the precipice into the entryway, which of course is carved to look like the mouth of one of these Dreadwings. And as soon as they walk over the threshold, like as soon as they cross over, the mouth closes with a chomp. So it seems they are trapped now. There's no turning back. We're going to take a quick break here and check in with Kitty and Ilyana again in the real world. And this time, Kitty seems to have been able to re-triangulate Nightcrawler's position, at least approximately, but she's realizing that there are multiple readings of Nightcrawler, like 20 or 30 versions of Nightcrawler now, because she doesn't realize that it's all the various Bamfs. And she's like, I can't, like, this sucks. Like, I can't just grab one. Like, what if it's not Kurt? And Ilyana's like, well, you don't really have any other choices, so just grab one, and if it's not Kurt, I guess we'll send it back. So they do. Kitty pushes the button, and she, you know, triggers the machine, and it pulls the Bamf. Not Nightcrawler, but the Bamf. It pulls him into the danger room, and I like what Kitty just yells, like, oh my gosh, Nightcrawler shrank. And then the Bamf, he hears this, and he sees Kitty and Ilyana up in like the control room, and so he teleports in there and he's like, hot dog girls, like, hi ladies. And he's calling them like baby cakes and stuff, because like I said, you know, they're a little over enthusiastic romantically, as he put it earlier on in this issue. But of course Kitty and Ilyana are like, wait a minute, this isn't just a small Nightcrawler. And then they decide to like immediately cancel it and send it back. And he goes back, and that's when Ilyana realizes, he's like, wait a minute. She's like, Kitty, Bamf. Like, he said Bamf. Like, do you remember the fairy tale you told me about the Bamfs? And Kitty's like, yeah, so what? It was a fairy tale. Like, that wasn't real. And Ilyana's like, but what if it was? Like, what if Kurt is out there with all of these real BAMFs? Like, maybe we should just latch onto all of them and try to bring all of them back. And Kitty's like, oh no, that's ridiculous. Like, that's impossible. Like, they can't exist. I made them up in my mind. They're from this fairy tale. And Ilyana's like, yeah, but what other choice do we have? Like, we might as well just cast a large net, try to get all of them and see if we can't get Nightcrawler. And Kitty's like, we're not fishing. Like, what's the matter with you? But we check back in again with all the rest, with Nightcrawler and team. And so they're inside the, I don't know, you know, like, it's not really a temple. They're inside the base, I guess, you know. Remember the it was a Dreadwing face. And when they walked across the threshold, it like bit down and locked them in. Eventually they find their way to this large door. It's a big locked door. It's got this huge chain across it to prevent it from opening and everything. And Colossus is like, yeah, don't worry about it. Like, I'm so strong. So he rips the chain out of the wall. He rips the door off the hinges. And as soon as everything's clear, this like giant metal cube just falls out of nowhere and lands right on Colossus. Kurt yells like, oh man, like a deadfall. This sucks. But then suddenly this large cube thing starts to shake, and eventually it starts to crack and shatter, and it's Colossus there. And he's like, oh man, dropping that thing on me, that gave me a stiff neck. Sheesh. And he's like, all right, look, you know, we've wasted enough time. I've had to punch this cube thing. Let's get going. And they all shove off like with no further thought. They're just they're in on mission mode here, trying to get Kitty and the BAMFs back. And they don't realize that as they're running, they're leading the way, Nightcrawler and the BAMF. And like, as they're running away, Colossus and Mean get like teleported away. And they're like, we're going the right direction, right? Mean, you can smell where we need to go, right? And Nightcrawler and the BAMF turn around to see that Colossus and Mean are gone. And as they're trying to figure out, like, where the heck did they go, another BAMF cloud pops up. And this time, it's not a BAMF. It's not a Nightcrawler. It's not even the Boggies from last issue. It's this giant-looking BAMF. Not Nightcrawler-looking character, but, like, a giant BAMF. But he's, like, red, and he's, like, covered in shadows and stuff. And he says, you know, I am the servant of Chagrin. Surrender now, and I shall be merciful, puny ones. You have no hope of overcoming Dark BAMF. And Nightcrawler's like, Dark BAMF? Oh no, this has got to be a dream. This is ridiculous. But Dark BAMF immediately attacks. And he's like, ah, Dark BAMF will smash you, fool. And he's like throwing punches at Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler's hopping all around, jumping behind him, landing on the wall, doing flips and stuff. And the BAMF is even though he's bigger, he's not any clumsier. You know, he's able to follow Nightcrawler. Eventually, at one point, Nightcrawler tries to like jump over the Dark BAMF's shoulder, and the Dark BAMF smacks Nightcrawler with his tail, knocking him out, it seems. And he's like, ha ha, I won, I've got you. And we turn the page, and it's the final page of the issue. We see the BAMF, after he hits Nightcrawler with his tail and kind of knocks him for a loop, he like sucker punches him in the back of the head, knocks him out, and he drags him off into the shadows, as the narrator says, to awaken much later to an all too familiar face. And we see Nightcrawler, Kitty, Colossus, and Mean, and they are all, well, they're not chained. They seem to be held to this thing by like tentacle type contusions. Not contusions, protrusions. And Chagrin is like, ha ha ha, like, you're my prisoner yet again, but this time I'm in charge. You know, I'm gonna sacrifice all these BAMFs and get super strong and dark sorcery magic, and you know, then I will be able to torture you for all the stuff that you've put me through, meaning, you know, when you beat me at single combat and knocked me off that big weird squid thing, and when you prevented me from, you know, sacrificing the Jinjav, all of these hardships that you've brought upon me, like, yay, now I get to revisit them tenfold. And the issue ends, and it just says, next, the Wizard of Oops. And that is Nightcrawler Volume 1, Issue 3. Now, mein Freund, I hope that you liked the issue, because it was a lot of fun. It was very strange. I like that they are, like, again, tying all of these things to Kitty's fairy tale. I really loved that issue. I think it was like Uncanny 151, maybe, or at least pretty close to that. It was like the very early in the Uncanny 150s. And it was just like a kind of like a filler issue where Kitty was telling this fairy tale to like a young and I think scared Ilyana while she was babysitting. This would have been like prior to the Ilyana and Storm, or maybe it was the Magic and Storm, or maybe it was just Magic, the four-part miniseries by Claremont about how Ilyana becomes the Dark Child, that whole storyline. But yeah, so I liked seeing those callbacks, and like the Banff is there, and like Mean is here. This time he's not the Fiend Without a Name, he's known as Mean. It was cool seeing Kitty and Colossus again, this version of Lockheed, this very tall, very large version who's so large that they can ride upon his back. I really liked it. It's a very strange turn. Like, obviously this whole series has been very strange and you know, a bit whimsical, a bit silly, but very tied to, you know, swashbuckling fairy tale adventures, which is right up Kurt's alley. But I feel like this one even has taken like a fairly long turn or not long, a fairly weird turn. Even more so than the first two issues. So, but it's been fun, and I'm curious to see where this will lead us for next week's issue. Hopefully we get to see the fate of real Nike, or no, real Lockheed, big Lockheed. I hope that he doesn't come to a watery end at Davy Jones' locker. So there you have it, mein Freund. That is Nightcrawler Part 3, Talking Banff Episode 3, in the books. I hope you guys have been liking this this change to Talking Snicked, and I hope that you all tune in next week for the final Talking Banff episode as we cover the fourth issue of the 1985 miniseries and close out this whole thing. I do still have the plans to do the final Omega Red episode. And now that I'm back into Talking Snicked right now, hopefully I can get that done for all of you that have been patiently waiting since like May to have the Omega Red month completed. I'm still looking to do my Wastelanders Wolverine review as well. Maybe even do like a retrospective on the Long Night and the Lost Trail, just kind of go back through those as well, because they were great shows. But we'll see, where all of that goes. But again, you know, if you like the show and want to keep the conversation going, you can reach out to me via email, talksnicked@gmail.com. And if email is not really your speed, you're more of a social interactive kind of person. I'm not really on social media anymore. The Talking Snicked Instagram does still exist, but like I'm barely on there. I mostly use it to communicate with just a few people who I generally bring on as co-hosts to Snicktoons, because it's just the quickest, easiest way for me to do that. So there's not really a Talking Snicked Instagram anymore. So there's no real reason to jump on there. But if social media is more your speed, then check the show notes, because there will be a link to join the Talking Snicked Discord. There are about 12 of us in there, and it's fun. You know, it's a small community. It's an intimate community. Most of the people that are also a part of the Discord have been guest hosts on episodes of Snicktoons. So it should all be recognizable and familiar faces. But yeah, definitely go check us out there if you are into more along the social media side. And check it out. I recently added pictures of the Nightcrawler Funko Pop that was recently released. It was a Walgreens exclusive. It was up for like a day and sold out. And then the last I checked, as of the time of recording this episode, like, it was back up and available again to order. And it's a fantastic pop. So if you're curious to see what that looks like or anything, go check out the Discord. We've got all kinds of goodies, you know, pictures that we've posted of our various collections and things. Sometimes we talk about different X-Men related or Wolverine related topics. So yeah, just come over and check out the Talkin' Snick Discord by clicking the link and or following the link in the show notes. Otherwise, yeah, I don't think that I have any other announcements. So I think that is it until next week. Auf Wiedersehen, mein Freund.